everybody, welcome to this first episode of Design Hack Podcast. So this podcast is going to happen each and every week, and today we have one of the very special guests today. Welcome Harshita. She is an independent designer in the branding and packaging space, and she has been in this field for around, I think, more than 5 years. Around 4 and 5 years. So welcome Harshita, the stage is yours. You can just introduce yourself with the start of a story. Yeah.
Thanks, Uwe. Thank you so much for having me over to your podcast. That's my first podcast, and I'm glad to be here. I'm in the branding space. I deal mostly with identity and packaging design. That's my forte. I was working as an employee until December last year, and now I'm an independent designer. So that's what I do.
That's great to hear. So actually, I just wanted to start off with a very, very basic question about why did you choose design, and kind of what was the story behind it? Because I think everybody has some other kind of story. So just a little story behind it, and why design?
Yeah. So I don't think it was why design. I think it was the process was actually elimination of a lot of things. You know, when I started, it was more like English and Economic Honors. We were the batch that were offered a dual degree program in DU, right? So, I mean, we were quite sure that it's either going to be a master's in, not a master's, it's either going to be a major in English and a minor in economics, or the other way around. So it was pre-decided and it was done for sure. Only so, my best friend was preparing for NIFT. And I knew that it was a creative space to be in. So I was really curious, how can somebody test your creativity, right? What does a test that tests creativity have, you know? And how do you, so I was really curious, and I asked my dad, you know, to just apply for this one exam, because I wasn't preparing for other entrances at all. I mean, we were sure that it was the board result, and then, you know, I'd be in DU. So, and he was quite chill. He was like, okay, are you sure? Do you want to do this? Do you want to prepare? Because then your attention is going to get diverted and all of that. I was like, no, I don't want to. I'm just curious. I just want to see what the exam has, you know. That's it. I promise I won't miss any tuitions. I promise you I won't be distracted, and my focus is still my board exams, you know. So we were quite sure about that. And I think we just went ahead. We gave the exam. I missed one mock test from a tuition, not even school. I think because the exam's also on a Sunday. So, and the next thing we know is that I cleared the first round. And then we're like, okay, if I've cleared the first round, let's, you know, prep for the second round and see what happens. And then I got a rank, and then I got into NIFT. So everything happened quite fast. We're not really prepared for it. So it was more like a game of elimination, and, you know, in the end discovering, oh, this is a viable option, you know, and I just ended up here.
Yep, I understand, because I think elimination is a part of, when we get into design, or when we get into a particular decision, we eliminate other choices. So I guess the story was very creative in a way that it got you to where you, I think, wanted to be.
Yeah, not directly though. It took a little bit of turmoil also, because I specialized in fashion design, right? Yeah. And now I'm in the graphic design space. It's much closer to, you know, and we did not have that course. We had fashion communication, but I had absolutely no idea. And I thought going in, I was pretty sure that fashion design, it was going to be my thing, you know. So then that entire process came with its own twists and turns. And I did a short stint in Dhaka as a fashion designer too. But all of that really propelled me, and in a way pushed me down, so that I could really spring back up and be like, okay, you know what? I'm done. This is what I want to do. I've been preparing for it, you know. And now I'm going to transition full time. I'm going to be in the graphic design space. So, the elimination game, it kind of still continued, you know. So it was like, okay, now we're going to be into design, you know. It's not going to be accounts. You know, I knew in 11th grade that it was not going to be accounts, right? So I knew that economics or English it could be. And then it was like, okay, none of these, we're going to get into design. Now we're talking about fashion design. I realized, okay, fashion design is not my thing. But what I liked in fashion was the digital aspect, right? So the creating CADs and digital illustrations, doing the conceptual bits, doing the research work. I really used to enjoy that a lot. So I was like, okay, what bit of fashion can, you know, I get into that requires all of this? Was there a, did you hear that? There was a buzzing. Or maybe it was only at my end. Yeah. Yes, okay. So was that? Yeah, so then I realized, okay, in all of fashion, you know, I think I don't want to have my own boutique setup, you know. So, okay, maybe we're talking about the Western garment space, you know. And then I was like, okay, I like graphics. So maybe I want to do, you know, deal with the type of apparel that has graphics involved in it. So then it was e-commerce. You know, I interned with the Yepme. Before that, I did a short stint with a brand called Folkswear that did graphic t-shirts. So then I was, you know, I was experimenting with what more in fashion, you know, that I might be more suitable for or I might enjoy more. And I realized that, okay, graphics was something I was keen, you know, towards. And then there was Yepme and the internship at Yepme. And then I realized, okay, this e-commerce business is, you know, I quite enjoy it. So maybe the part where I need to do a little bit of research and graphics are also involved, you know. Maybe that's the space that I might be better suited for in terms of fashion. So then my first job in Dhaka was centered around that and a lot more, right? It was still at the core of it, a fashion design job. And when I was there working, you know, throughout, I mean, I'd realized earlier that I'd like to be in the graphic space, but I wasn't sure because it takes a lot of, it's very scary to make a jump.
Yeah.
You want to be informed and you definitely want to give your major a try, right? Because if you're trained for fashion, I mean, it does not, why would you want to go do something else? Because you're trained for something, right? I did not have training for graphic design. I did not have training for what I thought I might like. And what if it was only that I thought that I might enjoy it? And what if I actually did not enjoy that, you know? So it was very daunting. So naturally, I went niching down in fashion, you know, towards what I would have enjoyed. And eventually, I reached to a point where I was like, okay, now I've done enough and I know what I want. But it requires, you know, burning a bridge and taking a major step, you know. It might set me back by a couple of months professionally or whatever it is, you know, but it needs to be done sooner than later. And so then I came into the graphic design space, you know, and then as I had more experience and I did different kinds of projects is when I figured out, okay, this is the space, you know, that I'm enjoying, you know, and this is the space where I am. So it's a long journey and it requires a lot of elimination on a lot of different levels, you know.
Yeah, I kind of resonate with you because I kind of shifted from tech to design and it was kind of it is kind of a leap of faith that we are trying to take because we don't know what will happen, will it be good or not. But I think
absolutely,
that is the point where we have to decide that we have to do it, right? Yeah.
Also, I believe that we owe ourselves, you know, to give us a chance.
Yep. Agreed. Fully agreed. Yeah. So going on, like you told about a lot of challenges, I think, or the lot of decisions that you have to make, which can break or like make something. So I wanted to ask, what are the kind of challenges or obstacles that you faced as a designer when you were trying to get into design or as a designer?
I think my entire recurring thematic was very much around how do I get into graphics? How do I get better with graphics? Because I wasn't enjoying the fashion design process, right? It did not feel feel right. I mean, and it was a constant voice in the back of my head that became louder every passing day. You know, it made me restless. It made me very anxious. I was very, there's a lot of pressure when you feel like you're in the right college per se, you know, you're in the right space, you know that design is right. I knew that my bachelor's degree in design was the best thing to happen to me, you know. I knew that. But to still not be in the right specialization, it's very daunting because you're so close. There's no point leaving that. And there's a lot of social stigma around, especially in our country, dropping out, taking a 0 year, leaving your degree in the middle. All of those are associated with failure, you know. So, I mean, there was a lot of mental pressure. And a lot of times I feel like in the design space, we don't have a lot of very prominent thought leaders who will guide us.
Yep. You know?
So that was also missing. And I was afraid of my faculties because our conversations were centered more around why are you not performing when you have potential. You know, whereas from my perspective, I was trying to get by my fashion courses and trying to put in my assignments. And along with it, constantly trying to learn more graphics, learn some software. I was interning part-time, you know, out of curriculum. So I was constantly doing more, you know, trying to figure out what would suit, really trying to understand, you know, how I can make this space right for me. So, I mean, those were the kinds of challenges that I had to face as a designer when I was in college. When you get into the industry, it's a whole different ballgame because you realize that the things that you've learned in college aren't optimized for you to be a professional in this space, right? So it can be a rude shock for a lot of people, you know, and bits of it were shocks, you know, for me as well. The first time I interned, the second time I interned, when I finally went to working into a job, you know, there are a lot of micro things that you realize not suited for. There's also a lot of conversation around mindset that needs to be done. There's a lot of conversation about boundaries, you know, that students need to be taught. It's almost like, especially in North India and the major metropoles, beyond a certain age, it becomes, you're living a life where you have only one mantra. It's like, okay, I have to beat the competition. I have to outperform. I have to beat the competition. I have to outperform, right? And we ingrain this mindset towards our most crucial years, that is the teenage, right?
Exactly.
And we imbibe that so much so and so harshly, you know, within our brain that it becomes very difficult to get to a point where you have to acknowledge that this is not sustainable for me. This life, you know, is not suited for me. I need to build for myself a more sustainable lifestyle, you know. And it can happen in a lot of ways. And it's different for everybody. Some people are suited to work under high pressure. Some people are suited to work under high pressure, but not for long periods of time, you know. Some people are absolutely creative as long as they're constrained in the 9-to-5 scenario. And for some people, you know, the real creativity starts when it's after, I think, 9 in the night, you know. So there's a lot of variation for a lot of people, especially when you start speaking about the creative fields, because everybody needs to kind of figure out their own ways and what works for them. So I think those challenges are different for everybody.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I would say I'm not a particularly into industry, so I understand with the fact that I kind of resonated with the fact when you were a student and you kind of faced the challenges. And kind of a question that I have personally, what is your experience about, you did internships as part-time and then you shifted towards in the industry, like what was the difference in those two experiences? Like, was it like very big difference or like just little bit or something like
that? My first internship, I landed up in the internship, but I was a fashion design student who'd applied for a graphic design internship. So naturally, my files weren't up to the mark. I wasn't entirely sure of what I was doing. And because the organization was very tiny, they did not have a lot of seniors in the design field who could have guided me, you know. So it was a lot of frustration and a lot of not understanding what is required of me. And a lot of not being able to objectively see what needs to be done, you know, because in the creative field, you might feel like this is the best thing that you've ever made, you know, but it might be absolute trash for the purpose that you've made it for, right? It's a possibility. It can happen, right? So it takes for a student, it takes a lot of experience, practice, conversation to understand that what work you do should not affect you so much personally. You know, there's a quote that says you're only good as your last project. That's not true. Right. Design is about solving problems, you know, at the heart of it. So you need to figure out what the challenges and how can you best find a solution, you know. The solution can be in the form of communication. It can be in the form of creatives, whatever it is, right? And these were some fundamental problems that I had to face in my first internship. My second internship, I could not understand boundaries, right? I really wanted to be good, you know. So I did not have a lot of industry exposure, you know, or in terms of the format that, you know, that was required in YEPMI, because a lot of different kinds of organizations require designers or interns in different kinds of roles. And it depends on what that organization does, right? So the way out is do your due diligence, you know. When you're giving an interview, don't just answer questions. Ask them questions about what your experience would be. Would you have a guide? Would you have a mentor? You know, try to understand that when you spend a lot of time in an internship, it's supposed to be a learning experience. But at the same point of time, you know, when you have a book and it has a syllabus, when you're in a class and you have a syllabus, you know, there's a guideline so that you have some context of what is expected out of you and what qualifies as good experience or bad experience. So try to build that. Get some more information and, you know, try to objectively understand, is this going to help me? Is this experience going to help me? Or is this not going to help me? So I think that's also very important. Yeah.
Yeah. So I understood the fact that one of the main points to keep in mind as an intern is that, it is required for you to work, but it is also required for yourself to learn. And yes. That is the main point. I think a lot of times I also personally feel like I also forget this point and I stop learning and just start doing. I think that is something that we have to keep, that learning is important. But
doing is also very important.
Yes, yes.
There needs to be a balance, right? Yeah. Especially when you're in your college years, there's a lot of foundation that you have to build. And the more you learn and you really like immerse yourself in the learning process, it's really enjoyable when you're doing something that you like, and you don't get this opportunity once you start working full time.
Yeah.
You know, as a student, all that's expected of you is to go out there and find out whatever it is that you enjoy learning and learn the living crap out of it, you know, and it's a glorious process at that. So I think we're not taught how to enjoy learning in school. Right. Hopefully, design schools, I mean, it's different in design schools. You're surrounded by a lot of creative stimulation because there's so many creative people, you know. The faculties are also creatives. There's different kinds of conversations that are going on. There's constantly, there aren't a lot of rules in a design college. That's one of the best things. There are not a lot of rules about how you're supposed to submit your work. There's not a lot of rules about when you're supposed to do your work. There's not a lot of rules about how you're supposed to interpret your, you know, briefs. So if you're learning something that has some aspect of creativity, really try to push yourself, you know, because the wildest, wackiest work is accepted and encouraged in college. There is no place apart from college where people will give you so much attention to the weird, wacky, crazy ideas that you have. It's not going to happen in the industry. The industry works much too fast, much too, you know, focused and much too effective to really try to give everybody an opportunity, especially when you're in the lowest rung of the executive work that's being done, you know, to give you so many hours of imagination. That's a little difficult. So try to really juice out that experience in college would be my advice for everybody who's in college. That's glorious.
I kind of resonate because I am also in college and I'm like experiencing a lot of things, meeting a lot of new people, learning sometimes. Like I think knowledge is kind of exchanged, so I also make them learn if I know something, so, and they also give me something. And that is actually glorious, I would really say that. So something, a relatable question to this, like I wanted to ask, some of your experiences, can be just one, can be few, that have made me what you are today, that happened in NIFT, especially your college.
Okay, so well, for one, there's a lot of exposure to what's happening around, right? If you get into one of, if you get into a design college or if you get into any prestigious college, there's a lot of exposure to the best people who've also gotten in with you, you know? So, and you get a lot of reputation about it. You get nice faculties. Your faculties can get you even better faculties, you know? So it's a, that's lovely because you have, and you can, if you're in NIFT, you can, it's very easy to go out to a lot of people and say, hey, I'm from NIFT, do you need interns, you know? I did not maximize that. And I think that's a regret of mine, you know? Do that if you can. I think that's also because, in the industry, there's a lot of trust associated with institutions that have been here for a while, you know. So if you're associated with those institutions, definitely. Another incredible thing is that whatever I knew, whatever little I knew about graphic design was because of NIFT. And all, absolutely all of what I knew to land a job in fashion design was also what I got at NIFT. So it's kind of, it's a little difficult to ask for me because I have no idea where I would have been had I, had it not been for NIFT. And I can assure you that it would have not been anywhere close to where I am today, you know. Think of it again. I mean, English and economic honors, either or, right, you know. So, and design. So these are different, quite different in, yeah, but it gives you a push, it gives you a platform. That bit is true. I'm a champion of, you know, I really do believe that for most educational institutions in India, there's a lot that needs to be done. There's a lot that needs to be done with the curriculum. It needs to be updated more often. We need to get more people from the industry with relevant experience to share their knowledge with the students. I do not appreciate the fact that for most of the students, and regardless of which field they're from, the industry is such a darn surprise. I mean, if there's so many people going to college, you know, why are all of them surprised when they enter a job? It does not make sense for me, you know. So, and we listen to a lot of conversation, you know. Families tell us all the time, oh, you're just in college, you know, and things will be different when you start working. How will they be different? Why will they be different? You know, how can we stop them from being different? There are a lot of tactical questions that need to be answered. You know, there's a lot of communication that needs to be there. So how do we bridge the gap? We bring people in the industry to speak to students, right, so that they can tell students what is expected of them. You know, I do want to be an asset when I go out and work for the first time, even for an internship, right? I want to have some base. I don't want it to be theoretical knowledge or even applied practical knowledge that I cannot really translate into my job, you know? So I think there's a lot of things that we need to do there. And I believe that even for NIFT, that needs to be done. But otherwise, everything said and done, it does give you a platform, especially where we are right now. So maybe 10 years down the line, we'll have incredible resources where we might need to not need to rely on colleges, and our portfolios will be an absolute, you know, go-to thing. But after a few years in the industry, I've started to realize, earlier, a couple of years ago, I would have said, oh, it does not matter, you know, all you need is a portfolio, all you need is design. You know, you need to have an eye, you need to have skills. But now I realize that a lot of people remember me, or, you know, one of the first things that strike them is that I'm from NIFT. You know? Yeah. So there are things, there are benefits. And then again, the onus on is on you to maximize those.
Yeah.
So that's where it's not, the question is not, is it worth the money to go to NIFT. The question is, can you make it worth the while? You know, so I think that's the way I'd rephrase it.
Exactly. I kind of want to give a little gist about my experience. Like, I'm not from a very good college, as a renowned college, I would say. So, but what I really think is that this gives me an upper hand on the other candidates or the other students which are here, kind of, because like, I always learned from outside. I always, like, it's not like I don't love school. I have always learned a lot from schools, from experiences to a lot of things. They have built what I am, but I kind of also focused on learning for myself, like by how I can do it from there. So what I feel is that, yes, giving a, like, kind of nowadays, like, personal branding and branding is important as in such. So having, being from NIFT or being from NID or something, big colleges as design, it is like, it is something that even if you don't have like a straightaway skills, that name is sufficient enough to get you somewhere. Like, at a certain point, I would say.
Yeah. Especially when you're starting out.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Because there are a lot of times when, you know, people who don't even know what they're looking for will just go out there and say, this post is only for NIFT and NID and Pearl applicants, you know. So it kind of gets you in the funnel. But at the end of the day, I mean, even if you try to get in and you cannot, that's still okay. Then you just put in a little bit more effort into your skills and be a little bit more patient, you know, because in a cup, it might take a couple of extra years for you, but you'll land up in a good place. That's the beauty of having good work and sharing it with people. Please don't keep good work a secret.
Exactly. Right.
Share it with people so that they know that, you know, you have the skills.
Yes. And that's kind of helps with the personal branding, because I really talk about personal branding because in the fact that what I have achieved as a designer, because I recently started growing as a designer. So, like, I feel like whatever I am right now as a designer, it's what I kind of, when I started sharing my design, when I started helping people out, when I started sharing what I have in my mind and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely.
It's true. And, you know, a lot of times we don't realize that even the people who are close to us don't really know how skilled we are
at
the things that we do. You know, so if the people closest to us do not know how reliable we are, we cannot expect people who are looking for services to be, you know, solved, and they need accountability, they need reliability. We cannot expect them to have faith in us. And that's one thing that we constantly talk about. You know, if I'm a creative, please have faith in me to execute, you know, try to believe in me, you know, that I want the best. I want the best outcome for this project. You know, so give me the space and the time to execute it. So how do you get that? It's very important to have some parameters, you know, that allow the other person to rely on you.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah, so moving on, like, as you have has an experience of like being an art director at a firm or an agency, I really wanted, like, a little short note, like, I really wanted the people who are watching, like, as simple as you can get, like, you can assume that you are explaining to a 5-year-old, because I want it as layman as it can, like, what is an art director and what is, like, definitely a role if you are art director at some place.
Okay, so to a 5-year-old, I would say, hey, you know, when you go to the general stores and you really like those candies and chocolates, you know, I do the packaging on them, I do the cartoons on them, you know. So I think that's what I'm going to tell a 5-year-old. To a 15-year-old, I'd say, there's a lot of work that goes behind designing all the products, packaging, and the brands that you see, you know. There needs to be somebody who aligns the vision of multiple people who are working for a project to invite them to work with their skills towards the common goal, you know. So that's the role of an art director.
Okay, I got it. I think a lot of you who will be hearing or just seeing this will get the explanation of this. Yeah, so now moving along, I just wanted to go on towards a little bit over to branding and marketing, like, which is your personal space. Firstly, I wanted to ask, like, you have been here for a good amount of time. Like, what kind of changes have you seen, like, from the 5-year back marketing and branding was done and, like, right now? Like, what is the changes that have happened, like, vastly? And even the pandemic has hit, so I think a lot of major changes would have happened.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a... As an economy, we're moving very fast, Right. There's a lot of changes that will happen because of that, and also because of globalization. I feel like in the last 5 or 10 years, globalization has peaked. Because I remember when I was a youngster, we would eventually get what was happening in America, but not at the same point of time. But now it's become that the pace is so fast and everybody has access to everything thanks to the internet, which is accessible for everyone, that every preteen, every youngster, has access to almost the same kind of resources. So digitally, we're all going through the same experiences in a format, you know. Online shopping was huge in USA, and in the pandemic, we saw an insane surge towards almost exclusive, online experiences. I mean, people who must have not ordered, food online for the greatest while, or clothes online, had to move to it now. And now that they've moved to it, are really enjoying those experiences, you know. So these are some dramatic cultural things that we see happen around us. The way we look at advertising has also changed dramatically, you know. If we talk about the 90s, where ads were fun, quirky, more aspirational, more fun, we look back at those ads much more fondly. And today, advertising is a sort of nuisance, you know. People can spot very easily what is paid for, what is a curated setup. And people do not want that. Right. The moment you're scrolling on Instagram, you immediately know if there's a post that's an ad, because it's curated so particularly, you know, and it's executed in a very particular manner. And nobody wants that. It's kind of permeating much more deeply into more of our day-to-day experiences, much more into our lifestyles, and we're getting much more irritated much more sooner, you know. Also, I think in terms of attention spans, they're going shorter and shorter and shorter. I think the last study that they did, everybody knows now that for a fact that, you know, for a person to watch an advertisement on Facebook or Instagram, you have to hook them in 3 seconds. 3 seconds is a lot of pressure.
Yes.
Right. In 3 seconds, a person is going to make a decision that they're going to watch this ad or not. In 3 seconds, they're going to decide whether this brand is worth giving my time to or not, you know. In 3 seconds, they're going to decide that this advertisement, this brand is irritating for me. I'm not going to, you know, be a customer. So it's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of different things that are happening. And in general, we're looking towards a lot of different things like that. Also, the consumer is becoming much more informed, much more aware. They're not afraid to ask for different products. They're not afraid to try new products now, you know, which I think if you look at the previous generation, not the previous generation, let's talk 25 years back, right? Or maybe our parents, you know, it was the same with our grandparents, and it was the same for our parents as well, that the brands that they would buy from once were the brands that they would constantly buy from, you know. They did not want to try new experiences as often. They did not want to shift their brands so often, you know. They were bought and they were customers for life, you know. That's the way things worked. Now, it's not the case, you know. Even for items that kind of cost a little bit more, you know, like electronics, you know, there's a possibility that the brand of your cell phone you've bought today might not be the same. You might not buy from the same brand when you buy the next model, you know, or when you change your handset. It's the same for your laptop. You might give Dell a try this time, and the next time you're like, yeah, maybe I'm just gonna, you know. And even if you had a great experience with Dell, we have an insane amount of choices and we have access to so many things that the opportunity cost of all of those experiences is also increasing. So in general, it's much easier to frustrate a client, but it's also easier to tell them, you know, what you stand for. What do you believe in? What are you invested in? Do your goals and visions align, you know? And fact of the matter is that people now are willing to pay a premium for the products or for the brands that they feel they align with, you know. I mean, and it's an incredible journey, I think, you know. It really, our customers becoming much more smarter. Our audience is becoming much more smarter. It makes things much more interesting, right?
Yeah.
So your money is not always going to help you so much. We need somebody with brains who might just be able to do the trick.
Yep, I think kind of I got the gist about like thinking out of the box nowadays is much more important than just putting your money and just running
Yeah.
ads. Just that is not what the audience right now wants, I think.
I think in general, if we talk about advertising and marketing, I think the shift has gone from advertising towards marketing, because the marketing earlier, there was marketing. It's not that they weren't, it wasn't there, but the pressure to perform was on advertising, because the idea was that you could get a huge billboard. You could get a space, you could get some space in the newspaper, you could get your TVC and you made it. That was the qualifier. If you got a TVC, you were cracking it. So, which is a much more binary form of looking at success of a product or a model, and it's very easy for for giants with a lot of not disposable money, but money to put in and resources to invest in those areas to, become owners of or become first movers of a place, Now the playgrounds are getting a little bit more even for a lot of, it's still, the advantage still lies with giants, but it's not that there aren't brands that are coming up every so often that are really, acting as challengers, So I think that's a massive shift that's happening, and the onus is now starting to shift more on marketing than advertising, So advertising is becoming more of a tool, and marketing is becoming the big game. And if you look, towards the early stages, advertising was the most massive, most important chunk of, getting
People in
eyeballs
India.
towards your brand. Yeah,
Yep, I kind of
I think.
understood that thing because like before, like in the past, it used to happen, like we used to watch advertisement on different platforms through different mediums, but nowadays it's more about, I understood how the change happened in the marketing sector. Yep, definitely. So kind of we are coming to the end of this podcast, so I just wanted to ask you, like a lot of people might be interested to know more about you, not just about marketing and branding. So I just wanted to like kind of ask you about your, what are the other aspects of your life rather than design? Just wanted to ask about the organs.
Okay, so what are the things that make me curious? Human behavior makes me curious. I enjoy listening to music. I'm a fan. When I want to relax, I play the ukulele. I'm trying to learn the guitar, but I'm not much of a player right now. So, which you can see here. I enjoy illustrating. I enjoy drawing. A lot of times, a lot of creators do have that. I think everybody's trying their hands on different places. It's fun. And in general, I think these are. I mean, I enjoy watching animated shorts, but shorts. I don't watch a lot of long format movies or content, but I really enjoy watching animated shorts. That's also something I like to do.
Like the short
And
films on YouTube.
yes. So I mean, I had a whole phase where all I would do is, open YouTube and because there's a French school called Goblins, right? So I
Yep,
think they pronounce it
I have
Goblins
heard
or
of them.
something. Yeah. So I would just look them up, and every year they have a new batch of graduates that do their mo animated movies, and I just binge. So that an ideal afternoon where I'm by myself would be that. Thanks to COVID, I'm spending a lot of time with my family, and I'm really enjoying that too. So I think all in all, there's a lot of things to do with trying to play the ukulele or the guitar or trying to illustrate. I do some digital illustrations when I'm vibing. So that's that too. And yeah,
I think
that's me.
that's the chill and relax and the interesting part of yours, the way you do all
Yeah.
of this stuff. And like whosoever would be interested would definitely follow up. So last question is kind of the bonus one, and I really wanna ask each and everyone who will come on this podcast. So
Yeah.
kind of the one piece or the two piece advice or the two, you can say, cents that you wanna give to the audience, whosoever is listening or watching, like as a designer or as a budding designer or somewhere who is in the design industry, just 2 cents of advice.
Okay. you're not only as good as the last project that you do, you're much more than the final, you know, piece of work that you've put up. Please do not fall into that trap of thinking. It's going to make you feel anxious for no good reason. That's one. And the second would be that understand that it's more important to get the job done. So you need your work to be finished and not perfect. That's something that I struggled with immensely for the longest period of time, you know. It took me a lot of effort to get out of that process. I never wanted to put any of my projects onto my portfolio. I did not click pictures of my work a lot because I wanted to, you know, go back and fix them a little bit more. I was always waiting for them to, you know, add that little extra touch in the end. But those things never happen. And in the end, I have a lot of work that's gone down the drain. I have no idea where it is. I don't have any pictures to show for. You know, they're reduced to just some ideas in my head and nowhere else. Don't do that, you know. Whatever it is, just compile your work and put it out there, you know. And even when you're working on a project or an assignment or you're a young designer and you're working in the office, don't try to perfect everything, you know. If you're 70% through, good. Take a 5-minute break, walk around a little bit, refresh your mind, come back and take it to 90%, you know, or 95%. When it's there, share it with whosoever it is that you to share with, you know, and wait for them to get feedback. A lot of times it's happened that I've thought that I need to do much more work in a creative and my supervisors looked at it and said, hey, why are you, it's already done, you know, it's good to go. Why are we still, you know, working on it? And I'm like blown, you know. So you need to have those checkpoints. Do not get invested in perfecting every artwork. No. So please don't. Finished is better than perfect, or done is better than perfect, you know. And you're not only as good as the last project you do. Those are my top two takeaways. If that's all you have to take away, please take away that.
Yep. So I think this whole podcast was filled with knowledge and kind of bits and bits here and there. And I kept a lot of picking it up. And I'm filled with a lot of value that I grabbed from this particular podcast. So like, I would really suggest anyone who's listened this, like there's a lot of potential in this podcast, so they can grab as much as they want. So yeah, I think that's the end of this particular podcast. Thank you everyone for joining in. Bhashta, do you want to say anything lastly to the audience who is there?
I just like to say thank you for having me here, Abhay. Thank you so much. This is an enjoyable experience. I look forward to having the opportunity to listen to more of your guests on this podcast.
Yep, thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining in. And if you want to connect with Harshita, her social will be linked in the description box below, so you can check them out later on. And yeah, thank you so much, guys. See you next time.